This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everyone? It is Friday night, and Friday night means independent wrestling and independent comics. You could be watching SmackDown, but instead you should be here with us, the coolest wrestling and comic book podcast there is. So we had a long break. I mean, I guess for us a long break, but that's how much we work. Fred, what did you do on this long break?
I recorded podcasts.
The concept of a break didn't quite hit you, did it?
I took like 5 days off or 4 days off. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I got a few good days off and it felt good not to be pressured to read.
Yeah, reading's not good.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it's important because look at the situation our country's in. But I mean, it
yes, reading is important, kids. Stay in school.
Right, reading is fundamental.
Yeah, I took a break too. I drank a lot, danced a lot, shit kicker music, had a few tears, you know, all that fun stuff that goes on with a wedding. And I turned off that Twitter big time. I don't know. It was nice. I got to admit, it was nice. Take a break from Twitter.
It's good to be away from that. It's definitely a game changer. You can get more stuff done.
Well, I didn't get anything done though.
You enjoyed life?
Yes, more. I enjoyed life.
You probably laughed and smiled a bit more. And
yes. I was like Tabby in Thumbs, which we're going to hit today. That's what I felt like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Well, we're back. And like Fred said, he didn't completely take a break, and his mind was churning, and we're probably going to tweak our comic book segment of the show once again. But that's okay. It's going to get better because it's always better. You know, we can't stay the same. We don't want to turn into WWE, you know. Stagnant, boring, and old. Always keep moving.
Right. Yeah, definitely. We got to, you know, change some things up, breathe some life into some things, you know. I listened to Martin's podcast, and I'm taking some of his advice about, you know, reviews and things like that, you know, switching it up a bit.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Reviews can be daunting.
Yes.
It's supposed to be fun, and I by no means am an expert, so.
No. And everybody's a Yelper nowadays.
Yes, no doubt, man. Oh, my God. The salad fork was crooked. Let's go destroy this restaurant. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Everybody, the outrage. Yeah. Just have fun, guys. They're comic books. Remember when you were little? Comic books. Alrighty, well, let's go into our comic books for this week, as it is. The first comic book is Shoplifters Will Be Liquidated. It's number one. The largest retail in the world requires the best trained loss prevention staff, and security officer Nussbaum defends the company's interest at all cost. Life, human rights, rational thought are all secondary concerns, but this world is upended when he finds a society living under the retail outlet. A culture that challenges his notions about consumerism and a sense of self. Is he ready for the message? Imagine Judge Dredd working for Amazon, and you've got a hint of what you're in for. Written by Patrick Kindlon. Art by Stefano Simeone. Letters by Hassan Othman Alahu. Published by Aftershock Comics. Shoplifters Will Be Liquidated.
Okay, this book right here is a very interesting concept. I felt like the book had, you know, talked a lot about like capitalism and consumerism and kind of showed like the power of corporations, so to speak, like the things that happened in this Amazon type store. You know, it feels like they could tell you what to do, like something bad happens and they're like, "Hey, go over there before we hurt you. And go look at the sales at the shower curtains," or something to that effect. Yeah. I believe that's what they said, you know, like basically saying nothing to see here. and kind of like, you know, wag the dog in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Twitter works, too. see what I did there?
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I thought that, like, it was this was a great concept, a cool book. You know, we have, like, I think two or three books out right now about consumerism and capitalism type things with, like, mall and everything. It seems to be a hot topic. But the end of this book, where it ends off at that final panel, it looks like it's going in a different direction than those two books. Uh-huh. So I'm all in for that. But I do have a question for you, Andrew, is that in this book where, what'd you say his name is? Nussbaum or Nussbaum?
Nussbaum. Whatever it is. Nussbaum.
Every time he found somebody, they were wearing red. Is that a thing?
I didn't notice that. Maybe. Maybe that's going to be some sort of resistance, that we're going to learn that the people who live under the store
wear
red. I didn't catch that. I missed that. I read it in PDF. I'm not very happy with my comic book distributor right now. But I had to read that one in PDF. I didn't get to see it. So I missed that. Huh. I'll have to watch for that.
Yeah, they all were wearing red. And another thing that kind of worried me is, remember that the one part where he found like a teenager and something, and he was like, you were going to steal that and your brain isn't developed enough. And he basically accused him and said he was going to do it, like manipulative.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, dang, this dude's got all the power. Like,
yeah, not good.
Yeah, right. That's a scary system.
Yeah. That did two things for me. It scared me that that could become something that's like profiling, you know what I mean? And then it also scared me because it gave me ugly flashbacks of Civil War II, the Marvel, where they were like trying to predetermine who was going to do things and they were arresting heroes, which was such a bad Marvel thing, but I digress. yeah, that whole thing and the whole idea that you like basically sentence people to death almost for doing things like that. And then the boss sets up a scenario where he has to shoot the leg out from that one guy just to like prove that he's an efficient death prevention system.
Yeah,
it just shows that people are not important. It's about, like you said, selling things. Don't worry, nothing to see here. We have cheese puffs over here for 99 cents, you know.
Yeah,
pick up two.
It's kind of scary, but that's the way things work. Even like if you think about it, just on Twitter itself, like you think about the things that happen daily and, you know, people are like, something bad happens and then all of a sudden they get sidetracked and they're like, squirrel. Yeah. Like when your dog sees a squirrel and he just starts barking, like he just forgets everything that he's focused on, and people don't understand. I think that that's, if this book gets into that more, I think that's going to be amazing, because I think, you know, society needs to see what's happening to them.
Yeah, I have friends that going to Costco is like, they treat it almost like going to the park. What are you doing today? Oh, we're going to Costco. Going to have some lunch over there and, you know, do some stuff. They're like excited about going to Costco.
Well, maybe it's the free samples, though.
It must be, but they get people in, man.
Like they want some veggie straws and some pirate booty or something.
Yeah, it must be that, man. But people get a little too excited to go to the Costco, and it's like, wow. You know, I get excited to go to the comic shop, I guess, but it's a little more specific. I don't know. Just to go buy groceries is a little much. So.
Yeah. What do they get?
Oh, they're whatever. They're Costco shopping for the week or whatever they do. You know, it's like their grocery store. I have friends that they do a lot of their grocery shopping that way at Costco.
Yeah, but what exactly is exciting them? Like they get like five bottles of A1 or something?
Yes. I have no idea, man. They think they're saving money, man. And I guess it's exciting to save money. I'm not quite sure. I mean, yeah.
Are they doomsday preppers?
Not that I know of. But you never know. There's not a lot of basements in Arizona, so if they're preppers, they have a little shack somewhere that nobody knows about.
Because I've heard that they sell 5-gallon buckets of macaroni and cheese. So
wow, that's a lot of mac and cheese.
Yeah.
You'd think that would be more geared towards stoners. That's a lot of mac and cheese. But anyway, we digress on this comic book. It's a fun little comic book. It's interesting. It's a first issue. We have to see where it goes. Political message.
And and back to the mac and cheese. The only reason why I made a comment about that is because my son came home from school today and he told me it was National Pasta Day. Uh-huh. Or wait, that was yesterday. all my days run together. Who cares? It was one of these 2 days. But he was excited, and he was like, oh, I got to have something, pasta. And I was like, mac and cheese. So that's what he made.
There you go. Yeah. Aren't you Italian, and you gave him mac and cheese? You couldn't come up with something else?
I wasn't cooking.
Oh, okay.
I had turkey Italian sausages.
There you go. All right. Well, we really went off the rails with Shoplifter. We'll be liquidated. Let's move on to the second book. Thumbs number 5, the grand finale, and grand it is. Thumbs and Mom, reeling from personal loss and with their backs against the wall, put everything on the line. Written by Sean Lewis, art and cover by Heyman Sherman, published by Image. Thumbs. I'm assuming Hayden Sherman must do the lettering too, because there's no letterist credited. So
yeah, I want to say that I'm really glad that you picked this book, because it's been a while since I read. Like, I think I stopped reading at issue 3.
Mm-hmm.
So then I pulled out all 5 issues and I read it as a trade, and boy was it like really enjoyable for me to read that way. Because, you know, we'd be getting back to like reviews and comic books. You know, I feel like people forget that one issue is just one chapter. So when you read the actual arc and what the writer is trying to get through when he came up with this, damn, this is so good. Like the whole book, Sean Lewis really killed it. And it was, did I say it was an enjoyable read? Because it was truly enjoyable to read it this way. But yeah, the one thing that I like about it is like this, it's kind of has like a commentary about social media and society as well.
Yeah.
Which was really good because, you know, he kind of makes it about families and tribalism in a way. Mm-hmm. The tribes you stick with, and, you know, sometimes people might act a certain type of way because of, you know, who they're surrounded by. But at the end of the day, you're all family and you need each other. And that's what I got from the 5-issue run. And kind of Sean Lewis kind of mentions that at the end of the book as well and tells people that too. So this book was deep, man. It was really deep. And Hayden Sherman's art is awesome. I'm digging still the dark colors with the hot pink.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm a Heart Foundation fan, but, you know.
Yeah.
But what'd you think about it, Andrew?
We reviewed number 1, I think.
Yes.
And after number 1, they started piling up on me. Like you said, we do reviews. I buy way too many comics. And you kind of, you forget about a comic for a bit sometimes. I do that. And then I said, okay, well, let's binge it. And I said, okay, well, this is the end. So this review isn't, to me, almost just this issue number 5. It's the whole thing. This whole ride. And like you, I binged it. I even pulled number 1 back out from the box. So I had them all and I read the whole thing again. And this is going to be one of those trades that we talk about long after, you know, I'm not talking about comics anymore, that I'm an old man in an old folks home. People are going to be talking. It's going to be that one that friends recommend to each other years from now. Like, hey, have you read Thumbs? Oh, you got to read Thumbs. I mean, it's going to be a picture of what society was at this time. He really gets that social media thing. And he turns it on his head to the point like, okay, pardon me, I'm with the people that are anti-social media. But they went extreme. So I understand the other side too is saying, well, you can't have no technology and you can't control people and control thought. But yeah, I get it. You're spending too much time on social media when you could be looking at the mountains. And there's, I mean, like, I'm going back and forth. I don't know who the good, and I guess that's what he's saying. There is no good and bad guy.
Right.
You know, both are right.
Yeah, that's true. And that's what we face a lot on social media is like, it's the pick a side culture, which I'm very anti of, tired of it. It's emotional draining because there's no middle ground to people anymore. And Sean Lewis kind of like is hinting at that, like, you need to find middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for instance, like we like AEW, but you can also like NXT. You can like DC and Marvel, you know, like Coke and Pepsi, whatever your thing is. And people, you know, because everyone feels like you have to pick a side. That's what's tearing people apart and causing those tribes and things like that. And it's not cool, man, because there used to be a point in time where people would respect each other's opinions. Now it's like, I have social media, you know, it started with the selfie, look at me now. And now it's only my opinion counts. And that shit is tiring.
Yeah, they get into that about the narcissism. And we see that, you know, the selfies, the need for approval from strangers. And people get too, you know, like become famous YouTubers and they think there's mm-hmm. something, or, you know, the celebrity culture, Kardashian type shit. Yeah, it gets into, but then at the same time, the other side is like recruiting children to go to war and die. You know, it's radical to the whole other side of things. And yeah, this book was so good. And you talk about the art. I really enjoyed, like you said, the colors. The pinks seem to center around the resistance, you know, the kids that were trained to, under the video games. And then the, I think they're called acolytes. I believe, no, not acolytes, advocates. The advocates were more in gray tones and, you know, kind of muted tones and kind of almost somber. It just was, wow, it was really good. And in the end, you have this, basically it comes down to a brother trying to find his sister. And that was the core of the story.
Yeah, the book was basically about family, and you don't have to be blood to be family. Yeah. That's what it's teaching you. Another thing that I did like is it's a callback to Clan Killers, I believe, is somebody loses their head in this book. which I was like, okay, I see what he did there, because that's what it was like on Clan Killers. And I was like, you know, even though it might not have been meant like a shout out to that, I'm going to take that as that. So, Sean, if you're listening,
nice.
Thank you for that.
Another great book. But,
Yeah, this book was amazing. I really liked it. I'm so glad that you decided to do this week, because I'm glad I read all five, because, man, I think if people haven't had the chance to read the floppies, go get the trade, because it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah. And there's bonus stuff at the end, these little stories that just enhance it. There's just so much. Yeah, I can't wait to see what kind of bonus stuff they add to the trade. I might buy it. And I'm going to say this to you. I'm shouting it out to the rest of the nerds. I may want to revisit this in a month or two and do a deeper dive, maybe on another show, perhaps, that we do deep dives on trades.
What show is that?
It's a show about, what's it called? Oh, Nerds from the Underground.
And, oh, yeah, I know a little about those guys.
Yeah, I might want to see if they'll let me on and dig into this one, if anyone really wants to dig, because I think I want to dig a little deeper into this one.
Yeah.
Might visit.
I'm sure we can find someone to work with you.
Okay. But, yeah, go get this book. If you have to get it in the trade form or you can't find them all. Buy them digitally, hell. You know, you can get them all digitally. It's really worth it. And don't be scared away by the price tag. It's because you get so much. You know?
Yeah, it's oversized issues. It's not like a 20 or 30 page, isn't it? Like 40,
something
40
like that.
Some pages.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about chapters. These are real meaty chapters. These are like really good stuff, where you felt like each chapter meant something. There's no filler.
Right. And like he mentioned at the end of the book, he said that it took him like basically 2 years to write this and prepare this book, and they poured their hearts into it, and you can really tell.
Yeah.
You can tell, like, when you start from the beginning and where this ended, there's a lot to learn from. Like, it was like his teaching moment. Like, you know, maybe that's why Sean hasn't been on Twitter as much. This is probably why, because he was noticing things were happening, and he was like, hey, I'm going to write about this. Yeah. It's a great book.
Definitely.
Two thumbs up.
Definitely. Big time thumbs up. If we scored books, this would be a high score, but we don't score books.
Yeah. Hacksaw Jim Duggan thumbs.
Nice. All right. So our last book, we're doing an advanced review. I don't know how a couple of jabronis like us ended up with an advanced review, but I think it's because of the topic, man.
Maybe it's our promos.
Oh, yeah. Our promo skills. I don't know. I'm
like MJF sometimes, or in my mind mentally.
I don't know if I'm there. Sometimes I feel like Baron Corbin.
Well, I guess that's better than the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah. But this next book is called Over the Ropes One, and it's everything we and our show is about. It's comic books and wrestling. Step over the ropes and into 1990s wrestling. set in the fictional world Over the Ropes dives into sports entertainment's biggest era. A young high flyer named Jason Lynn goes off script in a match to win the world title and sets the Southern Territory on fire as the face-painted Phoenix. Jason's battles between the ropes are only outperformed by his struggles outside the ring. First dates, crooked promoters, cage matches, factions, and families. No matter what problems smack him with the steel chair, Jason lives by the catchphrase, "I will rise," written by Jay Sandlin. Art by Antoniello Costino, colored by Francesco Segala, lettered by Justin Birch, variant cover by Patrick Mulholland, published by Mad Cave Studios, Over the Ropes.
This is everything our podcast is about. Whether it's the terminology or if it's just wrestling and comics together, because this book is so good. It has all the words. Even things we've mentioned on here, we can't even say these things. But there's things that we've mentioned where, like, let's just say people tell us wrestling is fake. And, you know, our response and stuff. It's everything a fan wants, wrestling fan. I'm really excited for December. Is it December 4th, right? It comes out?
I think so. I think it's the 4th. Yes.
Yes, because when I placed my order, I think the one I just placed, it was on there.
Yep, same.
Through DCBS. Yeah, this is, man, I'm so glad that Jay hit us up about doing this book, because I feel like this book was meant for us.
Yeah.
And I wish we could talk about it in deeper detail, but man. If you listen to us and you like the wrestling and the comics portion, then you need to get this. You need to order this. Tell your LCS. If you don't go to LCS and you order through DCBS, you have to the end of the month to get it in. Because this book is really good, whether it's the art, the writing, everything. It's a total package. And, you know, Mad Cave Studios, that I just recently read The Show's End, which is another great book. They've been putting out some good books, man. But this book right here speaks to me because it's from a wrestling fan who loves wrestling, and it shows through this book.
Yeah, most definitely. This book is what you want as a wrestling fan. It doesn't disrespect wrestling. There's been other comics. I mean, Boom puts out a WWE comic, for example, which I wouldn't get very... I've tried to read it. There's not much to it. It's almost... kitty, it's almost like a commercial. There's not much to it. This is a story. And the characters just happen to be wrestlers, and the setting happen to be wrestlers. And I'm going to throw something out at you that what I thought about when I read this book. To me, it's something you love. It's Hot Lunch Special with wrestlers. Like Hot Lunch Special was a kind of like a mob story with sandwiches. Mm-hmm. This has an undertone. There's definitely going to be some crime. You know what I mean? Like, not necessarily the mob, but, you know, some organized nonsense that he's going to have to navigate, but within the wrestling world.
Right, backstage politics, that's what they call it.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to get a little messier, I think, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's going to have that feel that I got from Hot Lunch Special, that's telling me a mob story, but the base is sandwiches.
There's going to be some heat on some characters in this.
Yeah. So that's when I was done, that's what came to me. So it's more than just, I mean, there's beautiful, like you said, there's references to all these great wrestler things. We're going to get into NWA later today, and it has that NWA feel, the new NWA show, you know, traditional territories. That. Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll deal with his heel turn later. but. It was just so much fun, and it was a great-looking book, too. The art is amazing. The characters are pretty awesome. It shows us a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that you would get in a wrestling show. And, yeah, Mad Cave Studios. So definitely pre-order this comic book if you're interested, because you just never know with a smaller publisher. If you don't pre-order, they might not have a copy on the shelf, and you don't want to do that to yourself. You want to get a hold of this comic book. I can't recommend it more highly. It was everything. Like I said, there's been a lot of attempts at a wrestling comic book, and they don't always hit so well. This one, I think, they have a winner on their hands.
Yes, and it definitely has that indie feel as well. Yeah. So if you are into indie wrestling like us, the AEWs, then this is your stuff.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Definitely. Well, that's our comics for this week. Kind of light. We have to ease back into it.
Yeah, it's yeah. But after we're done, we can, you know, have some bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly. All right, let's get into the wrestling, guys. Let's wrestle, nerds. All right, it's time to get into the wrestling portion of our show. Joey has joined us, as always. Say hi to everyone, Joey.
Hello.
What the hell is that?
You said say it with your chest.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh, boy.
Got a little hair on his nuts.
You sound like, what's his name? One of the guys from Private Party when they smack him and he's all high-pitched. I can't remember which one. Remember, he takes the hits and he goes, ah!
Yeah, that's annoying. I'll be sitting there watching that and I'll be like, what was that?
Yeah.
Maybe he likes
Yeah,
Michael
I don't
Jackson.
Know why he does that. All right, so let's go into the wrestling this week. A lot happened. Oh, my God. We're going to get into all the different promotions and kind of go around and talk about it. But I was thinking before the show started, it seems like that Noob Japan show I watched on Monday happened like a month ago because I watched so much wrestling this week. So, yeah, very busy week.
That's for damn sure. It does feel like forever ago.
So we're going to start with you, Joey. We're going to go into some AAA.
Okay. AAA Octagon Jr. or Kalisto put out another promo, and it said, I had to translate it because I'm not that fluent in Spanish, but he said something like that he's always looking for some good competitors and he's here to stay this time. And then, so hopefully that means that he's staying at AAA, because my dad keeps saying that that's not really him, but that's him. So, but then the show, the AAA show that I watched was the most recent one. And obviously the best match was the first one with Elio Del Vikingo with Mysticis and Golden Magic versus Dave the Clown, La Parca Negra, and who was the other guy?
The Murder Clown.
Oh, yeah, Murder Clown. And because Vikingo's the best wrestler in the world.
So. Sorry to interrupt you, but there's a guy named Dave the Clown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dave the Clown.
Okay. All right.
And he's not American.
Yes.
Oh, even better.
He's got like a big purple fro.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, seeing that Vikingo is the best wrestler in the world, it's not Will Ospreay. Osprey, that was the best match, so check that out.
I have to check that out. I have not been watching AAA. Like we talked about, there's been so much wrestling that something had to drop off, and AAA kind of unfortunately got the axe for now. But that doesn't mean I won't watch it later, but I'll have to check that out. I do like the fact that for all you people out there who have kids, you should let them watch AAA, because did you see he translated the Spanish to English? There's an education going on with this. Wrestling is educational.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Phoenix Kenny show soon. What show is that? You know, like where they've been hyping that up. That show,
okay.
Whatever that show's called.
I'll have to watch for that.
The one where Kenny and Phoenix wrestle each other.
I think
yeah, Kenny Omega goes back to AAA.
That's in LA, right?
Is it? Okay.
Oh, is that the Invades LA show?
Maybe. I don't know.
But he said he was going to, yeah. That's pretty cool. I almost forgot about that. Glad you brought that up. All right. Let's move on to New Japan. They had a pretty big pay-per-view, or a big match. I don't know if it's a pay-per-view, I guess. Yeah, it's a pay-per-view. Some people have to pay for it. So.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was the King of Pro Wrestling pay-per-view, and Jon Moxley was unable to make it due to a typhoon. So he had to vacate his IWGP United States title. And during that match, it was Lance Archer was facing Juice Robinson for that vacated title. Lance Archer won the belt. And then, surprise, David Finlay shows up to attack Archer, which is pretty sweet, because he's been out for probably about a year or at least
I'm pretty sure
6 months.
That's what they said, a year.
Yeah.
That's because they're both lifeblood.
What?
Robinson and Finlay are both lifeblood, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. That was probably one of the coolest things on the thing. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the Osprey El Phantasmo match.
Yeah.
It was okay. I'm glad that Will kept the title, but you know, Phantasmo was saying like, "Oh, we're not gonna interfere, and nobody's gonna come down." And you know, when you see that on Twitter and stuff, you know that's smells a little like cow pies, if you ask me.
Yeah, it worked us for a while.
So both their teammates came down.
Yeah.
And Okada retains the title.
Yep.
Not surprising to me.
No, not really.
And then Ibushi keeps the rights to face him as well, because he fought Sonata for that.
No, he fought Evil, didn't he?
Oh,
yeah, he fought Evil.
And then Sonata fought Okada.
That's not what I said?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure? Rewind it.
But yeah, New Japan did well. I enjoyed it, as always I do. But these are long matches, mm-hmm. so you have to definitely make some time available to watch them.
Would you say they're storytelling, unlike some other? Oh, we'll get into that later. Never mind.
Yeah, they are storytelling.
Yeah,
and they are telling a story. That the whole setup and talking about how Sonata and Okada's relationship, how it's gone back and forth, and Okada sees Sonata as a legitimate rival mm-hmm. to eventually possibly take his place. That was all built up really well.
And then the story so with Liger and Minoru. Did they read
it? Oh, yeah.
They did another match?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. Yeah. And damn, what's his name actually bowed? That dude never bows, Grumpy Old Man. Yeah.
Grumpy Old Man's a great movie. He's like, fuck it's you, okay Mortimer.
Classic. All right, so next, on that note, we're going to go into my favorite ROH, and absolutely nothing happened, as usual. But
what a surprise.
Yeah, talk about nothing going on. You know, it's a resurgence in the wrestling world, and ROH is nowhere to be found. But I thought this news story summed up ROH. They've already let Maria Havoc go. They just let her contract expire, and she's doing a WWE tryout. And you guys probably don't know this because you don't have to watch this show every week like I do. She only comes out, stares at the Allure. The Allure gets scared and run out of the ring untouched. And then she like power bombs and beats up a bunch of like ushers.
Is she the one with the Hall & Oates tattoo across her stomach?
Yes.
Man-eater.
Yes. Yeah, it looks like a China kind of type. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what you said. You didn't know what Hall & Oates meant? Like, Man-eater. Whoa, here she comes. Come
on. Oh, here she comes.
Come on, Joe. Get with it.
Come on, Joe. You got to get nostalgic. That's going to be the main topic today. Nostalgia.
His face. He saw his face.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun later. Oh, boy. But, I can't believe they just let her go like that. What was the whole point of that thing? They should just like let anyone who's on that roster is a woman out of their contract and let them go to like MLW or somewhere else. MLW's, but let them go to TNA. Let them go anywhere because they're not using them at all. That has become such a joke. But I'll move on now instead of being negative about ROH. What happened in MLW?
What?
MLW.
What happened in MLW?
Oh, yeah, they did their show in Mexico. It was Luchador Heavy. The first match was all Crash Guys. So it was a little, I don't know. It's new.
Did you know them?
No.
Did you know any of those guys? Nope, they were all new to you. Wow.
It's like I think it's like a smaller promotion in the area. So I don't really know much about them. But then the next match was, it was Rey Orus and what's that guy's name?
Hammerstone?
Yeah, Alexander Hammerstone. I almost said Greg the Hammer Valentine, but whatever. they put both titles on the line. The open white title? And then the crash title. They put those on the line, and it ended in a... Oh, okay.
Spit it out.
I don't know what... I forgot, but whatever. It was... they love Rey Orus over there, so...
Something happened. Somebody came in the ring. That's why no one won.
Oh, so the whole show was pretty much like that. That's what I wanted.
Isn't that
to
what
see.
Happened?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Did MJF come out for that, or what happened there?
Maybe it was that holiday, dude. It was one of them.
Okay, because it happened in both matches, didn't it?
But then that would, I will say Hammerstone looks like he's been doing some juice or something because his veins are popping more. He looks like he's
looking a little Steiner-like, huh?
Yeah, he looks like he's added a lot of muscle since the last time I seen him.
Yeah, he went to Japan for a while. Maybe it's legal over there, and he's over there.
Maybe it's sushi.
And they even seem to make a joke about it, kind of. I took it that way, like in the vignettes when they were coming out of the pharmacy.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, it's legal down here. It's legal down here. Maybe he's is juicing. Yeah. Or at least they're making jokes.
And then the best match had to be both of L.A. Park's sons. One of them, it was his first appearance on MOW. The youngest, it was his first appearance. It was them versus MJF and Holiday for the tag titles or something, because they challenged Selena for it, or she challenged them, because they were talking trash about Mexicans.
Because because Holiday wanted to wrestle Selena. That's what he said at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, he was being a rude jerk. They were being your typical gringos in Mexico, acting all, and then they ran upon Selena and tried to like mess with her.
He said, "What's with the masks? Are all Mexicans ugly?" That's what he said. That's why they wear masks.
There was a lot of heat on both of them. They both did a really good job. And she did a really good job of standing up to them.
MJF, he was like, I can't wait for Trump to build that wall. And the whole place were chanting, F you.
Yep. Yeah. It was well done. It was a really good angle. And she showed why she's so good. And MJF. And actually, I'm starting to get into, what's his name, the second guy.
Holiday?
Holiday. I'm starting to like his mic work a little more. He's starting to get a little better. I'm starting to like feel heel. Like I don't like him, but I'm not supposed to like him. So,
but you're not laughing like when MJF talks.
Oh
like,
no. Yeah. He's not that level.
No, because that guy is funny.
Yeah, that's master promo stuff. Yeah. MJF and Selena. I mean, that's good stuff. It's good shit. But I like it. I feel. When I watch MLW, I know it's a smaller promotion and they don't have as much talent to work, but they seem to give me a nice, tight, complete show, like a good hour. There's a nice amount of promos. There's some good wrestling. The story moves forward. See you again next week. Mm-hmm. I really like it. I'm a big fan. I have them high on my watch list. Yep. I don't think I'd ever drop them from my watch list.
Oh, and then next week, Bestia's dad versus Havoc versus Savio Vega in the Slaughterhouse match.
Which makes me think, I immediately thought when I saw that of your question about has Havoc done, I don't think Havoc's done there.
No.
I think Havoc is going to stay with MLW for a while.
Same with MJF?
Yeah, probably. They've made no effort to take the belt off MJF.
I think it would be beneficial for both of them because then they get like it's double duty to like improve and continue to like grow as a wrestler.
And does that give MLW like more viewers?
Yeah,
I think it would. I think it would. You go looking for these guys somewhere else.
I know they look for MJF. That's for sure.
Well, Havoc too. Yeah. I mean, Havoc had that good match against Darby.
Let's be honest.
I'm sure new people saw Havoc.
They're all there to watch Mance Warner. That's it.
Yeah. It was a Manceless show. That was a problem.
Yeah. That's why I didn't
watch
it.
Maybe he was scared to go to Mexico. Yeah.
He'd probably get shot.
He might. Nah, I like Mance. He would have made friends. He'd be drinking tequila with the guys before the day was over.
Do you think he knows how to say uno cerveza, por favor?
Oh, I'm sure he knows how to say mucho cerveza, por favor. So, all right. Well, let's move on to NXT. That half of the war this week. What'd you guys think of NXT?
I thought there was a lot of great matchups. But I felt like the storylines were lacking. I was happy to see like Tommaso Ciampa back in the ring. He's one of my favorites. But I just feel like everything was rushed. Like, let's say when we compare AEW to NXT, I think there was like 8 or 9 NXT matches.
Eight
matches in 2 hours. And a few promos in between. So we're getting basically like 12-minute matches. But you can turn on AEW and watch 20-minute matches where the wrestlers are able to tell their story. It's more enjoyable. Like, when we would watch NXT before it was the Monday Night War, or the, what is it, Wednesday Night War?
Wednesday Night
War. Whatever they call it. Those wrestlers were able to wrestle a lot longer. Now it seems forced and pushed through, and the storytelling, I don't know, man. I like it, and they've had a lot of really good matchups, but I feel like the wrestlers aren't getting, they're not able to showcase themselves because they're being rushed.
They had two squash matches with Killian Dane and one with Io Shirai. Oh,
that's a, one other point I wanted to make is, has Pete Dunne won a match on NXT yet?
Normal
God,
NXT.
No. I was going to get into that later. I'm not happy with that.
Because they build him up to be like one of the best in the world. The only person to beat him was Walter. And then I feel like he's lost at least two matches on this show to Damian Priest. And was it Matt Riddle?
He lost in that three-way for the North American Championship.
Was that Riddle?
He lost.
Was that Riddle and Roderick Strong?
Roderick Strong in the Dream.
Okay. So he's lost.
He's lost at least three, I'm going to think.
I don't think he's won since he's been there.
No. No. Since he's come back, they have not used him that way. And it's very frustrating. And they're using him because he's so talented that he makes anybody look good.
Right.
Anyone that he's in the ring with, he makes look good. He's old school Bret Hart make you look good, if you ask me.
Yeah, I would compare him to modern day, like, Daniel Bryan look good.
Yeah, I would do that too. Definitely. I mean, he can match. He can do any style. He can adjust his style. His storytelling in that match with Damian Priest, the story of working the arm that's injured. He worked that arm the whole match. He stayed true to that story, and he worked it and worked it and worked it. It was just, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
I kind of wished, like I told Joe after I seen it, I said I felt like they could have, somebody could have been disqualified or something happened that they both could save face. But instead, I feel like it's making him look weaker. You know, they could have made Priest still like look good and be
He's
disqualified,
undefeated.
But. So they're telling me that Damian Priest, who was in Ring of Honor, is better wrestler than Pete Dunne because he looks tougher?
Because he's a Vince-looking guy.
Right. It's
See,
because
I really...
it's looks. It's the long hair. It's the Roman Reigns tattooed. It's Roman Reigns had sex with Aleister Baron Black. And they popped out a kid. You said Baron.
They popped out a kid and they got Damian Priest. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to get into that later. I feel that's the problem. I feel like I think Vince's little fingers are starting to touch this show.
Yeah, you can tell because the matches are rushed now.
And you said you don't like that Dominik Dijakovic dude. You're tired of
him. Oh, I can't stand him. Do you not like him either?
No, I don't like him. I like Keith Lee, and I'm kind of tired of like seeing that matchup week in, week out. And
you'll see it next week.
Yeah. No, wait, I got some bad news for you. Okay, this I read this just recently, like maybe a couple of hours before we did the show. Keith Lee is injured and may not be in that match, so it may be Dijakovic versus Roderick Strong. I cannot think of a bigger snooze fest than those two. I mean, seriously, they both have the personality of a board. And, oh, it's going to be horrible to watch those two. I mean, I know they can wrestle, but they have no personality. Who do you root for? There's no... nothing to root for in that. I guess if you're an Undisputed Era person, you root for them just because he's part of Undisputed Era.
I'm going to be honest, seeing I don't watch NXT live and I actually watch it from the DVR, I'll probably fast forward to see who won.
Yeah, that one's going to get a zap. I'm with you.
Unless with I see something while I'm fast forwarding it that looks really sweet, then I might slow it down and be like, wait, what was that? You know, but... yeah,
they're not telling good stories anymore. That's I don't know what happened. I'm gonna kind of theorize. Everyone says when Raw went from 2 hours to three, they didn't know how to write enough stuff to fill those 3 hours.
Well, I think
maybe NXT going to 2 hours is just too much for them, and they just didn't really have a real plan.
I think Vince McMahon, since he's, you know, touching this product, I think he thinks that, oh, we have a deeper roster, so let's get them all out there. It will show them everyone we have. But to be honest, I'd rather see Chris Jericho talk on the mic for 10 minutes than watch Dijakovic versus Roderick Strong. So, I mean, I'm all about the bubbly and everything else he says. So, or I'd rather watch Jake Hager stare blankly into the camera for 5 minutes straight without even flinching. And that's more entertaining to me. I mean.
Yeah. And where I'm most disappointed is the women. They have such a talented women's roster down in NXT. It's so talented. And everybody is kind of not really doing anything. Like, so Tegan Nox comes out and squashes somebody. And then Baszler comes out. I'm like, why the hell is Baszler coming out for Tegan Nox? She's supposed to be getting ready for Rhea Ripley or Io or Bianca Belair. So why she would Tegan? I mean, just nothing's making sense.
Yeah, it's just like the Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, which guy is it? Like, they're all over the place. And it's kind of like reading when you get a bunch of comics and there's no, you know, it doesn't tie in with each other. And it's just all these individual stories and you're left thinking, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I can see that.
There's no continuity.
What were you going to say, Joey?
I said Balor comes back next week. Does that give you guys a plus?
Dude, and he's getting promos like he's a brand new guy.
He had like a 3-second
boat. Yeah, Vince McMahon just found out about him.
Yeah, they keep on showing little vignettes. I don't know, you guys must have fast-forwarded the commercials, but there's like a little vignette right before and after every commercial. Like Finn Balor just like, wow, look it, we got this new guy named Finn Balor.
Yeah, they're like, where's that?
There's his highlights.
Where's that Virgil Devitt, that guy that has all the abs because he never eats a carb in his life?
Yeah, so there's a lot, and it is disappointing, like I said, because there's so many talented people. I can imagine that entire roster being managed by AEW, and we'd be like popping for all of them.
Right, because when we first started talking about this, and we were like, yeah, AEW versus NXT, and I'm like, oh man, they're making NXT 2 hours. Look how deep that roster is. I don't know if they can compete. Well, they're making AEW look good because AEW is doing the same thing that NXT was doing until they made the move. Like, they're telling stories, you know, it's wrestling, it's, you know, storytelling in the ring and outside of the ring and giving us good content. And right now it just feels rushed. Like, these guys need more time. I mean, if fans don't want to watch wrestling for 20 minutes, then I don't know if indie wrestling is their type of thing, because that's what the fans want. Indie fans want 20-minute matches.
Yep, and I don't mind squashes, because if you're building stars, that's okay. I don't mind someone coming out and squashing somebody that they're trying to build for the main roster.
EO doesn't need a squash match, though.
Who?
I said EO doesn't really need a squash match at this point.
That was a horrible EO match, too. She didn't wrestle the same way.
At this point in her career, she doesn't need a squash match.
I told your dad that they're trying to make her like Riho. I saw more like weird little acrobatic things from EO than I've ever seen from her in NXT. I was like, that's not EO. EO's more of a striker. What's going on? And I was like, and then now she's the Joshi Judas. Where did that come from?
Wait, they call her Joshi Judas?
Joshi Judas.
Yes. That's making fun of Jericho, huh?
And also tossing in the word Joshi every week. Oh. See? Because NXT's hip.
Yeah.
They say they're into Joshi. Yeah. Now, Io is amazing. I would take Io over Riho anytime. I do think she's an amazing wrestler. I think Asuka's better than both of them. But... it's obvious.
The whole NXT roster is almost... You could say pound for pound better than AEW, but when the talent people that are in charge of talent aren't giving you the stories and things like that, then people are turned off.
And what's frustrating is they were. 6 months ago, NXT was untouchable.
Right.
So hopefully they get it straight, but I don't know. I'm worried.
Yeah. Right now it's not good shit, that's for sure.
No, not good shit. Get a hold of it, Hunter. All right, let's move on to AEW. Now, AEW, I thought, had a pretty good show this week. I think I may have liked last week's a little better, but it was a really good show. What did you guys think?
I like this one better than last week's.
That was good.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I want to say first week, then third week, then last week.
So, really? Yeah. So last week was your least favorite?
Yeah. But it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was my least favorite.
Oh, last week, meaning the... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you just mean your least favorite. You're not saying it was a bad episode, right?
No, this one was good for me because I feel like the Jericho match with Darby really put Darby over even more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just doing that stuff. We got to see Santana Ortiz looks strong against the Beaver Boys. Is that what they call them on there?
No.
I think they just said their names. They didn't get even an intro. It was a true squash. They just kind of walked down without music and stuff.
We've seen them in the indie, like real indie, like.
Like beyond bar, wrestling.
Like they're wrestling in a ring at a bar.
Yeah. They're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, and then we got to see, like, Scorpio Sky kind of jump out and kind of showcase his talents a little more, which was cool, too, because they made him look really good, too.
Yep.
And for all the Marco Stunt haters, I helped the Stunt Bros get together, his brother and him, because those guys are an exciting tag team.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I loved everything. I don't think Britt Baker and Riho had chemistry, but Riho was so over that it didn't matter. The crowd was definitely behind her, but I don't know. There's not. I'm starting to think Britt Baker might not have the it factor.
Yeah.
I keep waiting for it. I'm hoping that maybe Priestley brings it out of her.
Yeah, I think that's what will help her look shine more is working with Bea Priestley more. I feel like Riho should be with like more like high flyers and stuff so she can showcase or bigger women that can toss her around and stuff because she'll make them look strong as well. But yeah,
unfortunately that hurt losing Kylie. Kylie Ray, that was her name, right? Smiley Kylie.
Yeah.
That would have been the right. Those two could have probably done some pretty cool stuff together. And now they don't have someone else small unless they go to more Joshi wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the roster are pretty big. They're bigger women.
Do they have the other Japanese woman that was in the match with, where it was those two in Nyla?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think they're all in Japan.
Oh.
I follow one on Twitter, and she says she misses AEW. She'll be there soon. She has commitments still for a couple more weeks. So I think they just have commitments in Japan, the rest of them. And then maybe AEW just wants to build up the current wrestler. Like, we really haven't seen Allie yet. Allie hasn't got any. No. We haven't seen Brandy wrestle yet either.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
I know that's okay, but she's a major cog in the thing. And so, yeah, I'm concerned. I think the women have not. They need to put a little more focus on the women's division.
Where's Awesome Kong and the other Aja Kong or Aja Kong, whatever her name is? Where are they at?
Yeah, good question. They need to put a focus. That's what's lacking.
Maybe they're playing Donkey Kong.
Going back to Darby, they definitely think Darby's going to be a player. They've decided he's a player. Okay, you get a time limit draw against Cody, and you come this close to beating Jericho, and basically it takes interference for you to lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody that they're building up. I mean, that's not just like a little buildup. That's some serious buildup, man.
Yeah.
What's crazy is he's only been wrestling for 4 years.
Wow.
So most of his talent comes from like the X Game type stuff he does with skateboards, and it shows through. And this dude can take some crazy bumps.
Yeah,
and
the Zero Fear motocross like X Game stuff.
And what was crazy for me is when they like duct taped his arms, and he was able to do all those moves like that. And I'm like, they did that because he was like, "Hey, I'll even do all these moves duct tape." You know, he said that and. That helped him get over even more.
Oh, yeah. So I got a question for you because I've heard some podcasts this week. And the old guys are not digging some of the things that went down in AEW this week. And one of the big complaints is how does a guy with his arms taped behind his back take the world champion to the limit and the world champion actually needs help from Hagar to beat him? Is that bad booking or is that just old guys being old guys?
I think it's... old guys being old guys, because when you're watching it, you're emotionally invested into it, that even though you know he's smaller and you know he's not going to win, you still want, they put on a good show, and that's what happened. I don't think like him needing interference. I think that was the way to show Jake Hager look strong and as the enforcer again.
Yeah, to make him look like he's going to stay with Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah, to tell a story. I agree with you. I think people are going a little overboard because they took the same attitude towards why didn't the Lucha Bros squash those guys in 2 minutes? That the Lucha Bros should have squashed Stunt and Jungle Boy because the Lucha Bros are one of the best tag teams in the world, and you're telling me it takes that long to beat them. And it's like, well, what? How is that fun to watch?
Right. If you want to watch that, then watch Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Seriously, stop watching AEW, because this is as fans, as indie wrestling fans, everybody should have a shot, not the guy that's all jacked up. Everybody, even the little guy, has a shot. And that's what makes it's fun that it could be like somebody like, what's that, Jimmy Havoc having a shot, or Joey Janela's Jelly Rolls having a shot, or, you know, like anybody. Yeah. You can be all different sizes, shapes, colors, all different things, and you have a shot. It's not, you look like Damian Priest, and they're like, yeah, mm-hmm. put the title on him. Yeah. If you want that, agree. Then keep watching WWE.
Yeah, I don't get the negativity. I mean, yeah, I get it. And it's not like, I don't know, I feel like, did you watch the match?
Who said
it's not like Stunt dominated. Oh, I heard it on tons of podcasts. The big ones, the Meltzers and the... Oh.
Yeah, but, you know, Meltzer's, you know, kind of, he hangs out with, like, Ring of Honor dudes, so...
Yeah, and what's his name? Wade Keller, and, you know, the big ones, they talked about that stuff. And I'm, like, thinking, well... I don't know if you watched the match, because it felt to me like Marco Stunt got his ass kicked the whole match.
That sounds like it sounds like something Jim Cornette would complain about too.
Yeah,
and
yeah, you're exactly right.
This is AEW is trying to reinvent wrestling to make it, you know, more modern, to get younger viewers and things in, and I think they're doing it, and it's making wrestling exciting. If you want the old boring stuff, then. I'm sure Joe has something to talk about.
Yeah, we're almost ready to go there. One last thing. Another thing I heard is the rule. They're supposed to be sports-like and about rules and everything. They kind of let the rules slide in all these tag teams. Like, there was a lot of, like, stuff that was kind of like AAA there, Joey. There was no real tags and everybody in the ring and, you know, kind of a lot of chaos. What do you guys think about that? Whatever, just go with it.
That's one of the tags style I was going confused. For. Like, yeah. He didn't even get out of the ring to stand on the apron. Yeah. I don't know what match it was in. He just, like, stood in the corner and they called it a tag. And, like, and the crowd was confused, too. They were like, what is that? Like,
what's there was going? A lot of stuff. I think Mox was the legal man when he walked out. So shouldn't have that been a count out? You know what I mean? There was things like that. Yeah. There was a lot of chaos. So, but it was exciting. So there we go.
Hopefully they establish that so that those are their rules.
There you go. All right. Well, now we're going to move on to...
Don't say it.
NWA Power. We missed the premiere of NWA Power because we were off that week.
Do you miss the cardboard?
From all reports, it has been nothing but a success, and yeah, everybody great. Loves it but one kid that we know really well. So, Joey, what did you think of NWA Power?
If this is the wrestling that you guys watch as a kid, it's terrible. It's a bunch of overweight country dudes with man boobs that... It looks like, the set looks like something that me and my little brother would make in the backyard out of cardboard. And James Storm can't catch up to a guy that's running like 0.1 miles in like 3 minutes. And oh my God. So, who owns the show?
Billy Corgan.
Oh, I hate his voice. What's his? He's so annoying. So,
how do you not like Smashing Pumpkins?
Huh. His voice is so annoying.
What about the promos? The promos are amazing.
They have to put a suit on to stand outside the ring. And then they just, like, all in their underwear when they, like, step 3 feet off of the thing.
It was a different era, man. You had to look good at work.
Yeah, those were the good old boys.
You're just shitting on my childhood right now.
Yeah, like, you're just tearing us down.
Why'd they hold the belt like that? They, like, hold the belt like it's something that
like
they
a don't baby? Need to break.
Yes! Why'd they hold it like that?
Because it's prestige. It's 10 pounds of gold, Joe.
The women's title is 3 pounds of gold? Is that what they said?
I don't know. Did they say that?
I didn't hear that, but I wouldn't doubt it.
The fuck?
Man, I'm surprised they have a women's division on this, to be honest. I really am, because it does feel good old boy, like only women valet.
Yeah.
I like the promos. I got to admit, it seems like those guys that are doing, the main guys, the Aldises, the Storms and all that, they're doing some really good promo work.
The first night, I thought it was really good. It felt like the second night was more of a comedy show. In a way.
Well, you got Cabana there. That's why.
Damian Mizdow. Damian Sandow. Whatever his name is.
Yep. And then what was the guy? You didn't like that big guy that looked like he was totally old school? Like
oh,
he was
what's,
just a big
yeah,
old
what's that guy's
fat guy?
Name?
Oh, Trevor Murdoch?
Yeah. He used to wrestle in WWE. He did not look like he needed to be there. But
he looked like Dick Murdoch.
Yeah. But, I mean, can't complain. He was a he was okay. But
you just said that they're fat dudes with man boobs.
He is. But
there was a lot of guys that looked like that back then. Yeah. So that's very authentic.
Yeah.
Ric Flair didn't look like that.
Yeah, but Ric Flair wasn't exactly like ripped either.
No.
No. So.
Back then it was more about like your charisma and
like
you
a
got a lot
Rhodes
of
thing?
Lot of arm drag takedowns and things like that and
it was like a Dusty Rhodes thing?
Yeah, well, yeah, you had to make it look sweet. So Dusty Rhodes was the atomic elbow and stuff. That's why he kind of, like, made it look sweet. Just roll it up and boom. That's,
I'll just
he
be
made
quiet
it look
while
sweet.
You guys
I
talk
mean,
about this hot garbage.
What?
Damn.
You guys can... There you go.
What are you talking about? You guys, that was a good show. Okay. It was a good show. You're hating because it's in front of a studio audience, but so is NXT, so what's the difference?
Yeah, and so is actually ROH sometimes, and yeah, all those places. MLW's pre-recorded.
And just to see, like, it's on at 6:05 when I was a kid at 6:05 on TBS on Saturdays and Sundays. That's what came on. And if that wasn't on, the Atlanta Braves were on TV. So, you know, it reminded me of that, and maybe... We're showing it's a generational thing that Andrew and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to crap on it, but I've enjoyed it thus far.
But he does bring up some valid points. Like, okay, it's nostalgia for us, but when does the nostalgia wear out? Like, do we get tired of it, you and me, after the nostalgia wears out? They obviously don't appeal. That demographic to him in his age group.
Yeah, if I get a heavy dose of Trevor Murdoch and Mr. Kennedy a lot of the older guys that shouldn't be, you know, wrestling or James Storden, I'm kind of already there with Colt Cabana. But if you give me, like, if we get, what's the female wrestlers? I can't think of her name right now. I have a brain fart right now.
Kelly Klein?
No, the Mexican one with Holly Dead. What's the
Thunder Rosa?
Thunder Rosa. If we get more Thunder Rosa, and like what's the Ashley? Is it Ashley Vox?
Ashley Vox.
Like those type of wrestlers, then I think it could be something better. If we can get like more of that one tag team that at the end, I kind of like those hillbilly dudes that rushed the ring at the end of the last
Oh,
night.
Yeah, the Brawl, something, I can't remember what they're
called. Something with a D or something, Brothers or something. I forgot what their name was. But, I think it's something new, so it's different to me. So it's exciting, the crowd makes it exciting. Even, like, the promos makes me remember, like, the guy standing there that in front of the cardboard that says power, power, power. That used to be Tony Schiavone when I was a kid. So, and that's okay.
And just the promos, the like, men are men, and this is where the men are, and there's no boys, and just all that stuff is just very old school wrestling. And
even the graphics brings it back to it, because that's how they used to do it, was like the match, it would say the two guys' name, and like yellow, like somebody just wrote it on with photo grid or some shit. And that's how it was back then. So that makes me feel good. And I like that Billy Corgan did that. I can't believe that you crap on his voice and make fun of Smashing Pumpkins. But, I mean, I appreciate what he has done. And he kind of brings back my childhood.
Did you like the song? Do you like Into the Fire? Are you rocking with Dawkin when that song comes out?
What's
that? The song that starts the show.
You don't like the
Into
song?
Into the Fire.
Oh,
no,
I remember.
Didn't even register with you, did it? You know, the pay-per-view is going to be called Into the Fire. So
They can push the show into the fire.
That's terrible.
But yeah, you know what? It tells me a lot. It tells me a lot. He's AAA. Mm-hmm. Here I kept told you how the mold people are complaining about the tag team rules and how it's so chaotic in AEW. But that's AAA.
Right.
So if you want to appeal to him and all his friends.
You can't have a bunch of fat dudes doing arm drags.
Nope. He's going to turn you off. And you and I are only going to watch wrestling for how many more years before we, are not watching wrestling. They need young fans. So it is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Give it another chance, Joey. There's some good things in there.
Are you going to watch it next week?
I don't know. Barely watched it this week.
Wow. All right. One last thing before we move on is... going into the New Japan thing, it sounded for a while like WWE was going to open up a Japan NXT.
Oh, yeah, they tried to buy Noah.
Yep, they tried to buy Noah. Go ahead and tell me about that part.
That's all I know.
Oh, that's all you know? Okay, well, at least you knew. They also, it seemed like they were making moves towards Stardom. So Stardom made a deal with New Japan, and New Japan's going to now have a women's division, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I don't think WWE would have done well in Japan.
No.
No, and I know originally, New Japan wanted to, come have more of a presence in the U.S., and I think this is their opportunity because they want to do more at the L.A. Dojo and things like that and start building more schools here. So I think it's a good move on their behalf because I really hope, if people like AEW... New Japan is where they got their whole ideas from. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
In everything. A little Ring of Honor, but...
But I feel like they, I'm still holding out hope that they work together soon.
Yeah.
Because if they join forces, that's game changer.
Yep. I agree with you. There's a lot.
Yeah, WCW stole a couple guys from AAA and New Japan back in the day. That's where they...
Was it New Japan or All Japan?
I have no idea, but they stole... Jushin and Ultimo Dragon, and I think it was New Japan.
They had deals with them because actually, remember they had the Japanese wing of the NWO, and they sent
Sonny Ono.
Scott Norton and some of those other guys over to Japan to represent the NWO over there.
Scott Norton became champ over there.
Yeah, and he was an NWO, I believe, at the time.
Yeah.
So they were doing some cross promotion stuff back then. My mind's a little fuzzy on the exact stuff.
Yeah, I think if they can make a deal, because they already have one with AAA, and then if you can make one with New Japan, then, you could basically have Strong Style, you have
Luchadors. You have the wrestling world in your hands.
That would be like game changer right there.
And that's how you keep WWE at bay.
Yeah. They don't even need the big guys. They don't need Okada or Blue Demon. They can go without them. So they could use
So they need Laredo Kid and Osprey.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or
So you don't have to go with a heavyweight champ.
Yeah, they could take Kota, Ibushi, and Vikingo.
Yeah.
Yep.
They could even take Juice Robinson.
True.
Marty's Ring of Honor. For now.
So, one more thing. We didn't talk about Impact. They're supposed to have their big TV debut. And I just want to say I canceled my Impact thing. Yep. I'm kind of fed up with them. I'm kind of getting fed up with ROH. And I'm going to say what I told you, Fred, the other day. Is there's too much wrestling on for you to give me bullshit. If you want me to watch your show, step up to the plate and put out good wrestling.
Yeah, Dad.
So.
What's that mean?
It's your show.
What's that? Well, might not be at the rate they're going. Well, and that's too bad. They have talent.
This weekend, right? Their version of WrestleMania is this weekend? Their biggest show?
Yeah.
And there's no hype.
And it's no 40 hype for it. It's $40, but I've already put $35 in the app, and I'm not even getting the weekly show within a week.
You know what? We'll watch the highlights.
Amen. Amen. And it's too bad because they do have some talent, but I just can't. It's you guys need to figure it out. You need to figure out how I can get your show every week. Sorry, I don't have your weird little channel that you have your show on. We don't have that here. So you need to put it on YouTube like everyone else does, like MLW does. Put it on YouTube like AAA does. Put it on YouTube, you know?
AAA puts it on there like a month later, though, for
free. Do they? Is it a month?
I
think it goes on quicker on Twitch, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, well. Well, that's all I have this week for wrestling.
You can find unless it you got on something. Twitch for free, if some, but you'll just have to listen to some guy eating popcorn watching the show.
You mean like Dr. Joe?
Yeah, like Dr. Joe. He maybe could be, Joe has it.
Maybe that's an idea. He can start paying for it and streaming it for us. Look us up. Yeah. Come on. Bound for Glory on Sunday. I'll be watching your Twitch channel in case you put it on there.
Come on. You in good conscience cannot tell that man to buy that damn pay-per-view. That pay-per-view's not... Well, can you even name a match on that pay-per-view?
Moose versus Ken Shamrock.
Ooh, I don't care.
Is it Cage versus
Sammy Callahan?
Yep.
Still don't care. What's Tessa doing?
She's in the X Division match, ladder match.
Oh.
Versus like Daga, those Chris dudes, and I think two more guys. I don't remember who.
The OVE dudes?
Yeah.
Mm.
So they're going to spit on her or something then because that's like their thing.
And then put her through a ladder.
But that isn't like Daga, like her, aren't they dating her? And
yeah,
Daga?
They're like a couple. Ooh. I don't know. No, I pass. I pass.
No, it's,
the whole pay-per-view, I'm out.
It's $40. There's no way.
Well, even if it wasn't, it doesn't even sound intriguing to me if it was $10.
I'm saving, like, when I mentioned to you, I want to start doing more GCW.
CZW.
Okay.
Wait, no, that's too crazy.
And then I want to do MLW's coming up at the first week in November.
Yep.
We got to save some coin for AEW Full Gear, which is the week after that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can spend it in other places where I know they're going to deliver.
AAA?
I agree with you.
Do you have AAA?
I don't have to pay for AAA.
What?
Pretty much. I don't have to pay for AAA.
I think
I don't think the LA one.
I think, I mean, even if it is, I think it's only like $20 for that.
I'd pay for that one.
Yeah, I'd pay $20 for that. Just for Dave the Clown.
Dave the Clown.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Unless we're going to talk some more about NWA with Joey, but I think he's said all he has to say.
Like the rap group?
Yeah, you like the rap group at least?
Sure.
Or are they too old for you too?
No, they're good.
No, he wears their shirts all the time.
No, but like he only likes Ice Cube in those movies now where he plays a dad.
Oh, is that true?
No.
You don't like Ice Cube, no Vaseline?
Yeah.
Joe's pretending he doesn't know because he doesn't want people to know he listens to that.
Mm-hmm. That's on my playlist. But
well, that's it. We'll call it a night. As always, follow us, subscribe at the Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com, and look for the Indie Alley podcast to hear us.
Yeah, don't just
drop on Sundays.
Don't just look for Indie Alley podcast. Look for all the other podcasts as well, like Aftershock Pod, Bright Side Chat, you know. If you're into fantasy football, hit up the fantasy football. If you're into DC, I guess you can check out the Comic Book Legion. I mean, I don't suggest listen to DC, but that's not my cup of tea. Mark's on vacation anyways. He probably doesn't hear us, so it's cool. You know, there's a lot of other podcasts, especially like Nerdy Legion. You want to hear Martin and Nick talk about just about anything. They could be talking about, like, comic books or pizza or Taco Bell seems to be some topics that they like to hit up. Listen to them because it's always interesting. So, yeah.
There you go.
Sorry for throwing you off, Andrew.
We should do that.
I'm not throwing off. I was just letting you finish.
We're not going to talk about Taco Bell, Joe. All
right. So, you can find us also on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify.
You can find us on all those places. Gordita is fat girl in Spanish, but they sell it at Taco Bell.
I'm going to go get a gordita.
Put her in your chalupa. A chalupa is like a little boat. That's Spanish, I believe.
Oh my God.
Okay.
This show has gone completely off the rails.
That's right.
You can find our podcast page at Indie Alley. You can find me at Real Comics. You can find Fred at Fred Reads Comics.
No, at
you can
find our other Fred. Show.
Oh, see? Whoa. I blew it. Yeah. God damn it. I got it right last week.
Yeah.
So I'm like 1 for 4.
We didn't.
You can find him at Comics Fred.
We didn't record last week.
The week before.
This guy.
I'm counting dark matches.
Get a load of this guy.
All right. I'm out. Send us out. I'm done.
Wrestling is real. People are fake.
We out.